Support for the Weird Homes podcast comes from the Austin Energy Solar Education and Rebate Program, providing solar rebates and education for Austin residents and giving you the knowledge you need to have a positive solar shopping experience. If you've been thinking about going solar, now through August, you can earn the most from your Austin Energy Solar Rebate, a total of $3,500. Learn more at austinenergy.com/go/solar101.
Hi, this is David J. Neff, and you're listening to the Weird Homes Podcast. Have you ever walked through your neighborhood, taken a look at a strange or weird home, and wondered, who lives there? What's inside of that home? Well, I think as human beings, we all have done that. And that's what this podcast is all about, is to explore the weird and strange world of the people who live in those homes. Hey, everybody. This is David J. Neff with the Weird Homes Podcast. And today we're talking to a fantastic homeowner of ours, a local artist, Barbara Irwin. So Barbara, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to talk to Barbara a little bit about her history, where she comes from, what kind of inspires her creativity, and then a lot about her art. And also maybe we'll get into just how Austin's changed since she's been here and fun things like that. So Barbara, why don't you start and just tell us a little bit about your childhood, and did you have some early influences around your art or creativity?
Well, let's see. When I look back, I feel like one of the biggest influences was my dad's dad passed away, and my family moved in with my grandmother. She lived in a big two-story house over in the Museum District of Houston. Her house was this two-story antique museum.
Wow.
Evidently, she and my grandfather had traveled around the world and collected priceless treasures. He had been a so-called wheeler dealer, one of those people that could walk into the room and everyone was drawn to him. He was a millionaire three times, and he lost it three times.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So when he passed away, our family moved in, and my grandmother had never written a check, didn't know how much money they had in the bank, had never been able to learn how to drive. All she did was raise her family.
Wow.
So living in her antique treasure box, my mother and I became like her servants. 1 week, we would polish all the silver. Another week, we would take all the crystal prisms off the chandeliers and hand wash each one.
Wow.
One day, my mother made a comment to me. She said that she had been watching me and that she had noticed something very distinct. I had been clearing away an antique china wooden mahogany piece that was filled with my grandmother's porcelain and china figurines that she had collected. I would take everything off and clean the piece, and then one by one clean each piece and put it back.
Mm.
She said, the thing about it, Barbara, is you never put things back in the same place. You always arrange them so that they look so much better than they originally were. She said, I think you should one day be an interior designer because you have the ability to place things in ways that even things that are junk look fantastic. So I did. I studied interior design in college. And also, my mother just was really the one that observed my creativity and encouraged it.
And did you see that in yourself before she had said that? Or was that
No.
kind of a revelatory moment?
It was. And so with my mother's encouragement, I started doing collage as a teenager. And I'd always given them to family and friends for birthday, Christmas presents, and never thought about putting them out to the world. It wasn't till I was living in Hawaii that someone came into my home and saw some of my collages hanging on the wall of my house and asked how much one of them was. I had no idea. I had never thought about putting them out there to the world.
Wow.
But it opened a door because there were galleries in the small town that I lived in. And so I started being in shows there. It was a few years after being in shows with the collages that one of a fellow artist called me one day. He had received a grant for a recycled show. And he wanted me, he said, I know you do collage, but I want you to stretch yourself. Mm. I want you to do something for this show.
And so for people who don't know, what's a recycled show? What is that?
It's where you take what would normally, say, go in a dump site and be buried. And instead of throwing it in the dump site, you would make art out of it.
Very cool.
And what was interesting is that my former husband, when we had been involved in building a boat, and we sailed from Texas to Hawaii and through the Panama Canal.
So wait, before that, what made you build the boat and want to sail from Texas to Hawaii?
Well, he had lived in Hawaii for a short amount of time, and he had this dream of building a boat and going back there by boat.
Wow.
And his original plan, though, was to go around the world, but Hawaii was going to be the first stopping point, and we would do chartering. And the boat took about 2.5 years to build because we didn't have the money to build straight through. But I could tell you a whole bunch of stories about that.
Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, when I look back, you know, Ira Ono, who was actually a jewelry artist, was the one that was putting together this show. But also what I wanted to mention was we had left January of 77, and we got to the island of Hawaii in June 77. We had stopped different places on the way, the longest part of our trip being the passage from Costa Rica to the island of Hawaii, which was a 41-day passage with just seeing nothing but sky and water. So when we got there, though, found out that there were no garbage pickups, that you had to take your trash to different dump sites. I remember saying to him that, you know, there needs to be separate dumps. There needs to be a dump site for old wood. There needs a dump site for all glass. There needs a dump site for used appliances. Because sometimes people would buy appliances, not because they stopped working, but because they wanted something newer.
Sure. You were ahead of recycling, I think.
Old cars, so that you wouldn't have to buy expensive parts from the mainland
right.
Pay to have them shipped over. He laughed at me. He said, Barbara, you're never going to get people to recycle. Okay, you have to remember this was Hawaii in 77.
Yeah, still very kind of rural. Mm-hmm. And right.
So at any rate, I did do my usual obsessive self. Instead of doing one piece for the recycled show, I did 5 pieces.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And I actually won a prize. It was in a used paper bag, and it was a very used $5 bill for one of my pieces. They got picked. That was like the beginning of me doing found object art.
Okay.
I look back and I think how lucky I was that Ira had received the grant and was doing the show, and that it kick-started my career of doing the recycled art.
Did you practice interior design at all, or were doing interior design while you were doing all of this?
No. Mm. In fact, first getting to Hawaii, it was like trying to figure out how to support myself, because a lot of the experience, I had been an interior designer, I've been a department store buyer, a Montessori teacher, an herbalist, and mainly an artist most of my life with whatever I've chosen to do.
Yeah.
But I started making men's Western shirts. Believe it or not, there are cowboys in Hawaii. And I would do what men called screamers, where you could see these shirts coming from a block away. They were so loud and colorful.
Oh, I would have loved to see one of those.
Well, unfortunately, my husband didn't appreciate them that much. We went to a gathering one night, and there were 7 guys with their barber shirts on. And we got home, and he said, how come you don't make me any shirts anymore? But at any rate, when I look back, I did a multitude of different things. I've always believed that health was the most important thing that we have as individuals. I figure that if you don't have good health, you can't really do anything.
Right.
You know, sometimes people look at me and they go, oh, what? And I go, no, think about it. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have. If you don't have good health, you can't do anything. You can't do nothing.
Correct.
So when I reached a point in my life where I had gone through a divorce and I had was trying to survive financially on my own.
In Hawaii, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I realized that my mental and spiritual health was really bad. And I went through a depression. And one of the things I realized was, as much as I did not want to leave Hawaii, I knew that if I didn't leave, that it wouldn't be good, that I needed to face the depression in these situations. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision and moved back here and on July 7th, 1995.
Wow.
To Austin, because this is where my whole Hawaii adventure had started. I had been teaching Montessori here in Austin in the early 70s.
Okay. Yes. Came back to Austin.
Yeah. Came back thinking I could get a really good job with past experience. Did not turn out to be true. Because I was 53 at the time, people considered me over the hill, out to pasture. And I have to kind of laugh when I think about that, because when I think back to when I started working as a designer, I used to go out to people's homes, and I could, when they'd open the door, I could literally see them looking at me and saying, I'm going to spend thousands of dollars on what this young person thinks I need. I always looked very young, and people would always say things like, one of these days, Barbara, you're going to still be youthful looking, and you will appreciate looking younger. Well, let me tell you, at 77 now, I finally got to that point where people...
Well, you don't look it, so that's still, that's what's important.
Thank
you. Don't feel it, I'm sure.
No.
You're listening to the Weird Homes Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is David J. Neff with the Weird Homes Podcast. Are you new to solar energy? Are you thinking about it, talking to your friends, posting on Facebook, trying to learn more? Forget all that. We have much better options with Austin Energy Solar Incentives Program. Austin Energy has a solar education portal that really teaches you how solar energy can power your home. It's a great way to start the process and really learn more. Plus, what do we all love? We love rebates. They have those on their website as well. And also talking you through the installation, how those rebates work, and how solar works in general. So check it out. Go to austinenergy.com/go/solar101.
Well, all I can think of is in the scheme of things, life here in Austin had radically changed. I remember going to the Armadillo World Headquarters. One experience was seeing Bette Midler.
Wow.
And her piano player, if you can imagine this, was Barry Manilow.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, this piano player is so good. Well, look what he's gone on to do.
And what? When was that? That was
That was in the early 70s.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, coming back, the Armadillo World Headquarters were gone.
Yeah.
There was so many radical changes, and even today, now having been here on July 7th of this year, 24 years of being back here.
Wow.
it's not the same Austin.
Sure.
And I feel sad in a sense that there's this slogan about keeping Austin weird. And I can tell you that I don't like that slogan.
Mm.
They're chasing all the writers, the artists, and musicians. They're forcing us to leave Austin because we can no longer afford to live here.
Yeah.
And when I also think back, I've experienced poverty for 40 years.
Wow.
But at the same time, I can also truthfully say that poverty has made me a stronger person. I feel rich in health and friendship and abilities. The only situation is financial. And when I think about it, Picasso once said that poverty forces you to be more creative than you normally are, and it is the truth.
Yeah. I think we hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs and other people, too, who have that small, lean startup, and so they have to save and scrimp and cut corners to get their product out on the shelves and sell the first thing and sell the second thing. So I think there's a lot of that. I think there's that musicians, creatives, entrepreneurs, artists, and that idea that's almost a stereotype of the starving artist, right? Mm-hmm. Or the starving musician, but they put out their best work. But over time, I think you would say, too, your work has gotten better and better, wouldn't you
well,
say?
Well, when I moved here, I kept thinking, because I'd had an herbal business that I started in Hawaii, and I kept thinking, okay, will I continue my herbal business? Will I continue doing my art, or will I do something entirely different? And the one thing that happened was I slowly phased out the herbal business. Mm-hmm. There is one product that I also make that's cat-based. I make catnip mouse toys for kitties, and I develop a line of cat toys for people that I do besides the art.
Okay.
But I phased out mainly that business, and the art took over. The art, it's been one of those things where there's so many of us here that are so creative.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get your foot in the door and to be part, to be have your art being taken seriously. When I think about what I've been through in the last 24 years here with my art, I feel like I've taken little baby steps. My sister often tells me, Barbara, you've done a lot. Think about all that you've accomplished. I guess in the scheme of things, I do feel like I have accomplished a lot, but I still feel like that I'd like to be able to have my art taken more seriously.
And so do you feel you compete with other people in Austin? Are you competing with yourself? What do you mean when you feel like there's a lot of competition for art here?
Well, there's just, and also the term artist. There are so many people that nowadays call themselves artists. And for a long time, it took me very hard to think of myself as an artist. Mm-hmm. But there's so many people that just freely call themselves artists that, and I'm not here to judge anybody's work. Believe me, I'm not a curator. But all I can think of is there's a lot of people here that are calling themselves artists that their art really isn't.
Right, or they're just hobbyists. Or
yeah.
They may create art, but it's not their full-time artist career. So talk to me about coming back to Austin in the 90s. What did the art scene look like back then? Did we have as many people?
We had more galleries. Mm-hmm. We had more galleries, and a lot of those galleries have either closed for financial reasons or because people's lives moved on and they wanted to do something else. But there's more and more galleries here. But I will say it was pretty sad when some of these more established places were starting to close down because all I could think of was, wow, they had really good art.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you don't know what's going to appeal to people and what people are going to actually. And they're, believe it or not, there's very serious collectors here. And I do have some collectors. I'm very proud of myself for that. But it's still very hard to have people buy art.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity. It's a luxury.
Right.
And although people like what you do, buying art is another story.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have the financial means. I think that's what's so interesting about our tour a lot of times is that our tour is really just opening up people's personal art galleries. Like, what's the most personal art gallery you can possibly have? It's your own home and what you fill it with and the pieces you choose and the art you make and the things that you don't sell or don't want to sell that go into your home. So talk to us a little bit about your home and your collection and some of the art that's inside of your home.
Well, I wanted to tell you that when Kevin first approached me about being part of the Weird Home Tour, I was taken back, and I looked at him, and I said, I guess I never realized I had a weird home. And he started laughing.
And yeah, it's meant to be a compliment.
I know. But I think what it was is that my home is like Barbara's Art Museum.
Right. Amazing.
You walk in, and you immediately find yourself surrounded. There is no bare space left, except for the ceilings.
Right.
And that's being taken up with hanging pieces now. But all I can think of is the Weird Home Tour opened, even though I've had home tours myself, the Weird Home Tour opened my home to a different kind of people that came. The first year, I had like 465 people.
Wow.
The second year, I had over 600. And then the third year, I had close to 900 people.
Wow.
And all I can think about is the first year I did sell a small piece, which I was grateful for. But I think that what I found out was that most of the people weren't coming to really buy art. They just wanted to see what your home was like.
Yeah.
And my sister, Debbie, would always be in my studio room. And the last tour, the third year tour that I did, I would always ask her after the tours, what was the most asked question that you got? Well, believe it or not, this last time, the question was, does your sister's computer still work? Is it for sale? She said that evidently it's so old, it had been a recycled Apple computer and had been given to me free. It barely gets on, but evidently it's become a collector's item.
Oh, wow.
And as many times as I've wanted to take a hammer and to the screen, I have resisted, but she was saying, men and women wanted to know about my computer.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was kind of funny, but whatever. But it's interesting because I found that a lot of people would always, you know, take pictures and photographs and stuff, and they would ask all kinds of questions. And my main focus really was hoping that somehow seeing my home would inspire people to realize they could also have an unusual home.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. So what's your advice for the people listening to this to go home and do something different?
Well, years ago, I had a woman ask me, I don't think my husband would allow me to do anything different. And I said, okay, are there any spare or empty rooms in your home? No. So then I'd say, okay, this is where you get creative. You have a closet you can clean out. Start with a closet. Mm. And I know that sounds weird, but start with a closet and say, this is my little space. And hopefully you'll be able to expand through the years.
Right.
But it's a start. And you have to start someplace. And so I said, when I first started, collage was my total focus. I said, when I started doing the found object, I maybe had three or four boxes of stuff that I kept all my junk stuff in. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, all of a sudden, you know, I was being able to find things and use things that expanded my definition of found object art. Moving to where I live now, 14 years ago, I have a variety of different series. A lot of them are based on appearances, time, money, spirituality, relationships. And through the years, they've expanded to include a series called Roadside Attractions. I live in Cherrywood, which backs up to Airport Boulevard, which is not a street. It's a road and highway on the east side of Austin. And I would walk to the bus stops, and I'd start picking up street garbage, things that were either thrown off of cars or trucks, or if they threw out the windows of cars and trucks. And I started collecting things, and now have this series that's all street garbage.
Wow.
But all I can think of is I've had people pull over on the side of the road, ask me if I needed a ride, asked me if I needed a bottle of water.
And you're, no, I'm out here doing my art.
I'm out here collecting. But all I can think of is recycled found object art forces you to see things much differently. And one of my favorite things is a quote that goes, "Blessed are they who see beautiful things in humble places where other people see nothing." I have found through the years that when people ask me about how they can start doing it, I just say, open your eyes. See what's around you. Try to notice things that most people wouldn't even look at.
Yeah.
Try to see the beauty that's in everything.
There's this beauty and art hidden in everything around us, is what you're saying.
And also trying to know that the recycling of, you know, so many people are, oh, something breaks, well, I'm throwing it away.
Right.
Or something's outdated, I'm tossing it. You know, and instead of having things go to dump sites and landfills, see that there's possibilities for making things out of what you would normally throw away and dispose of.
I love it.
I love encouraging people to stretch their imaginations, to know that nothing is impossible if you can somehow see the potential of something.
And I think that is perfect advice for everyone listening at home. The people who tune in and want design inspiration, they want to be creative, they may struggle with that, they may just want to change one or two things in your home. So thank you for that. And Barbara, before we go, tell us about your website, and do you have any shows coming up in Austin, Texas?
My website, if you'd like to look at the art, is www.foundobjectart.com. I have a bunch of different series on there, different types of art that I've created using found objects. I'm currently in a show at Davis Gallery. It's their summer group show that's up. It's a fantastic show. It's one of the best shows I've seen in Austin in years. So I highly recommend you go in to see it.
And that show is July 20th to August 31st. So everyone go out there and check that out if you're listening to this podcast. Thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you for thinking of me and wanting to hear me talk about my art.
Of course. We'd love for you today to go check out our website at weirdhomestour.com. You can find the new coffee table book that features all the homes that you're hearing about on the podcast. We'd also love for you to check out our Instagram, Weird Homes Tour. And finally, really, we want this podcast to inspire you to show that design has no boundaries and that we would rather have neighbors be strange than be strangers.